To the Middle East now. The ouster of President Hosni Mubarak in Egypt was certainly the rallying cry during the uprising we saw in Cairo's Tahrir Square. Now, though, as the country moves slowly toward elections and a full-scale civilian government, possibly many steps to go there, the continuing cry has been accountability for the Egyptian president and his family for the acquisition of their wealth and their behavior during the uprising and before, when they were the regime that controlled Egypt. There's a curious story out this morning. Egypt's justice minister says that former President Hosni Mubarak's wife is to be released from custody without bail today. Suzanne Mubarak has reportedly agreed to give up $3 million in cash and a villa in a Cairo suburb. Does it absolve her of other charges as the wheels of justice go forward in a strange, circuitous way there in Egypt? Joining us now, David Kirkpatrick, Cairo bureau chief for The New York Times. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
What do you think this Suzanne Mubarak story represents here?
I don't know. We're still reporting it out. The interesting thing is that she is the first of the four members of the Mubarak family now in detention, and the dozen or so Mubarak associates also in detention under charges of corruption. She is the first to cop a plea. She's the first to say, okay, I have some illicit gains, and I will give them back to you in return for a break. I don't particularly credit the newspaper report, the Egyptian newspaper report that said that Mubarak is going to publicly apologize. I don't think that is actually expected.
Well, let's back up a second.
You're a little bit more credibility to see that his wife has reached a plea agreement.
Let's just back up one second. You are referring to a report we've also talked about this morning. There is a rumor or one news agency reporting that Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, in addition to the Suzanne Mubarak story, will take to the airwaves and apologize to the nation, possibly explicitly referring to the acquisition of wealth. That's what you're saying you're dubious about.
Yeah, I mean, it seems a little out of character for President Mubarak, a military man whose military bearing only stiffened through the revolution and after, to suddenly turn around and apologize. Just a couple weeks ago, he made a sort of phone statement to an Arabic cable channel, and he was nothing but defiant. So it would be quite a turnabout to hear him apologetic.
Indeed. So what are we to make of the Suzanne Mubarak story? Is this a sign of deal-making in the works with the Justice Ministry, or is it an attempt by the Mubarak family to raise perhaps a trial balloon to suggest that they might stay out in front of prosecution by being sufficiently humble or sufficiently generous with their assets?
Well, I don't think that police usually, or in this case, are letting the Mubarak strategize together. I would imagine that they're keeping Mrs. Mubarak separate from Mr. Mubarak. So I would be hesitant to leap to any conclusions about a Mubarak family strategy. And yet, you know, it's going to put the father and the two sons in a different position to see Suzanne Mubarak copping a plea.
But then to look at this from a sort of a law and order standpoint, does it look as though Suzanne Mubarak has been turned by the Justice Ministry, or is she just sort of making her own plans?
I don't understand the choices. I mean, she may have been turned by the Justice Ministry in that she is making her own plans. I mean, she's certainly... You know, she may feel contrite. She also probably is eager not to be in detention. She was reported to have suffered a panic attack that caused chest pains and led to her hospitalization at the time that she was detained. So it hit her pretty hard.
But would she, under any circumstances, be a witness against her husband, for instance?
That's beyond me.
But there does seem to be a difference here between Suzanne Mubarak and Hosni Mubarak and his sons. I mean, when we spoke to people in Egypt, and I'm sure you've spoken to them as well, doesn't seem to be that thirst for justice in her case as there is for others, where some people want to see Hosni Mubarak put on trial in a way that they would be unsatisfied if he were to reach a settlement.
I think that's right. I think people want to see Hosni Mubarak tried. There's a lot of anger directed at Hosni Mubarak. I'm not a pollster, and I don't have any polls that test what would satisfy that appetite and whether it extends to Suzanne Mubarak. I mean, there's certain – if you look internationally at the way this kind of situation has been resolved in the past, you know, after a dictator or a military dictator or a brutal regime has fallen, you know, that there's often an emphasis on getting out the truth, owning up to anything, everything, and perhaps moving away from a spirit of vengeance. I mean, I think that's the sort of ideal scenario. Who knows whether that's going to play out here or not.
But it sounds like what you're saying, though, is at the very least, there's no way around some accounting for Hosni Mubarak as the country moves forward to some sort of new regime.
Yes, there's also a popular perception or myth that he has a ton of money. I mean, you hear numbers, speculative numbers floated about his personal wealth stashed away abroad that are, you know, comparable to the GDP of Egypt. And I think until those are debunked or resolved, there are a lot of people thinking that sort of salvation for the country's economic problems is going to come from former President Mubarak's pocketbook. And that needs to be sort of dispelled.
Well, there are cabbies here in New York who say he's got $40 billion stashed away. I talk with them every single day. David Kirkpatrick, Cairo bureau chief for The New York Times. How's the erasing of Mubarak's image from everywhere in Cairo going?
You know, you see it less and less and less. You know, the places where it was just a picture on the wall of a restaurant went down right away. The places where it was a mural, it takes a little bit longer to come down. But it's fading into the past, just as former President Zine El Abidine Ben Ali did in Tunisia a few months ago.
It's high unemployment in Cairo. That's a good job these days, eh? Erasing?
I suppose that's right.
Yeah. David Kirkpatrick, who will never speculate for us here on The Takeaway because he's a New York Times Cairo bureau chief. David, thanks so much.
Okay. Talk to you later.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.